How are you, Stuart?
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for being on the program. Do you work out?
Sometimes, not as often as I need to.
I only ask because I know that your job has a lot of stress, especially in, when you have to deal with people like me in the media.
Oh, no, I don't mind it. I don't mind you, Tony.
Well, let's talk about...
Unfortunately, there's not more people like you in the media.
Let's talk about an interesting story, a case about a man shooting and killing a home invasion individual. Apparently, this person broke into an apartment, and he was met with a gun, and he was killed. And it was an interesting story. I know that you were trying to find out through your investigation whether or not this man gave this home invasion person opportunities to live, and apparently he did.
Actually, he did more than I think most people would have, if you want to. I really do. The person who invaded the home was actively assaulting the individual, and the homeowner said, you know, I have a gun. I will shoot you. And the person persisted in the assault.
And you took considerable time, and I don't mean to say that you took too much time, but this was a touchy case, and you took the time, and you were very clear on the results in your investigation.
Well, we needed to wait until we got all of the police reports. Actually, once we got all the information from the police, the decision was made probably within 24 hours. And then there was some delay because of the autopsy results, because there's always, you know, lab reports. As a matter of fact, we didn't even wait for the complete autopsy results. I made the decision based after we got the preliminary autopsy results. But I had called the homeowner prior to the public announcement to let him know that there were not going to be any charges.
What was his reaction?
Actually, I spoke with his wife. And she said while her husband was not all that concerned, she had been very worried.
Was there concern from what you can gather from either one of them about the fact that life was lost?
Oh, yeah. Both of them were, based on what the wife said, both of them were very, very distraught that this ended in somebody's life being taken.
And this issue of guns is brought up. There is a state senator who wants to make it easier for people to carry guns in places like schools and universities and healthcare facilities. And what's your take on that?
You know, that's a policy question for the legislature, and I'm not really sure that so many bad things can happen when people have guns, but I will say, on the other hand, that with the change in the concealed weapons law, which made it much easier for individuals to get concealed weapons permits, really the vast majority of people act very responsibly. I'm not sure. Guns concern me because of some people get guns and do the wrong thing. But the vast majority of people that we've seen with licensed guns, I mean, overwhelming majority, act responsibly.
Well, in talking with law enforcement officials, they are for the amendment rights of people to carry weapons, but where they carry them caused them some concern. I know
that causes me concern, too. I don't know why you would need to carry a handgun in a school. Or why you would need to carry a handgun in a church, but I guess I'd want to listen to the argument on the other side.
And there's a story about a gentleman last night who spoke at the Lansing City Council, and he apparently carried a weapon into the downtown library, and he believed that he was harassed by security there. You know anything about the local rules and laws about carrying weapons like that in public places?
Well, I don't know that there's any specific local rules. I know the concealed weapons law allows that certain institutions have the ability to ban the carrying of weapons on their premises.
All right. I know that you are going to follow the letter of the law. This is just a touchy subject, and it's being brought up in the news quite a bit. It is an issue that is at the state capitol right now, and that's why I wanted to get your take on it. Before I let you go, Stuart, the medicinal marijuana issue has come up again. And, you know, the reason I bring this up with you is you had mentioned that the law is the law, but it can be as interpreted as a bit vague, especially as local communities try to find ways to manage this.
It's not a bit vague. It's completely ambiguous and vague. It's a horrible law. I mean, there are good people trying to follow the law and trying to provide medical marijuana. And because the law is so poorly drafted and written, sometimes these people are erroneously engaging in illegal activity unknowingly. And we take that into account when we get cases like that. And on the other hand, the law is so vague that you have people that are absolutely operating essentially marijuana commercial distributorship for everybody in the world and trying to hide under the law. People who are clearly not concerned about providing medical marijuana, but concerned with making a whole lot of money. So it's just a mess.
And the Wayne Daggett case, the gentleman from the facility out in Williamstown Township, that's in the courts?
Yeah, that's in the Court of Appeals right now.
Okay. All right, well, we will follow that. As always, it's great talking with you. Enjoy your day.
Well, and I appreciate your consideration. I couldn't make it yesterday morning because of things that happened in the morning when I was supposed to be on, and I appreciate your understanding that, Tony.
No problem. We appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Take care.